14% of Americans, 14%, or 1 in 7 of us, think Congress is doing a good job. That's all. And that's both House and Senate. 1 out of 7 Americans think Congress is doing a good job, whatever that really means. And yet another poll showed that only 8% of Americans thought that congresspersons, House and Senate, were, ready for this, were honest. In short, said we the people in this poll, to be a politician is to be, by definition, dishonest. Wow. God bless America. The truth, say those 1 out of 12 Americans, 1 out of 12, is simply not in them. The applicable principle and philosophy of Congress and congresspersons is the art of compromise. Compromise. Give and take, so to speak. Let another politician have his or her way, and you get yours. But there seems to be little stand for principle in so many cases, but only stand off. If political objectives cannot be objective in substance, if the battle for ideas and principles cannot be won, then the battleground shifts to procedure. In comes bargaining and negotiation and filibuster and political stalling. And then come sidebar deals, non-public negotiations, and eventually something legislative emerges, whatever that is. Someone always wins and someone always loses. The political infighting is always marked with rancor, often anger, accusations, threats, and boycotts. Politics can be a nasty process, and the people involved become just as nasty, so the polls say, as the process itself. John Boehner, Speaker of the House, finally had enough of all of that Washington stuff. The man, once a very good man, came to Washington from the great state of Ohio years ago, a congressman bent on doing good, serving his people and all Americans. He came originally to do the right thing, perhaps as they all do. Attracted by power, however, and prestige, and wealth, and influence, it's all there in Washington. And once there, Boehner, like so many other politicians, became infected with Potomac fever. Potomac fever. An inability to leave the Washington power structure, and consequently, John Boehner embarked on the path of becoming a career politician. And he did it well for years. He really did. So well that he became the Speaker of the House when the Republicans became the majority party in the House. John Boehner was always a Republican, but was he? Was he? Said so many other Republicans, including members of the very House itself. Was John Boehner truly a Republican, or was he a rhino, a Republican in name only? It seemed that under his leadership, so much of the Republican agenda never happened. It seemed as though Boehner was always ready to compromise with the other side. It seemed as though Boehner could never control his own party, and fought with the Republican right, and never stood tall for the principles upon which so many Republican members of the House and Senate were elected. It seemed that Boehner was that way, was that kind of compromising leader, so it seemed. But one day Boehner said he woke up and made his decision to resign as Speaker of the House, and as well resign his seat as Congressman from Ohio. It was time for him to go home, to get out, to turn over the opportunity of both leadership and representation to someone else. Boehner had enough. Enough of Washington, enough of politics, and power grabbing, and most importantly, enough of political compromise. He did so, Boehner said, after much prayer. John Boehner, a devout Roman Catholic, sought the wisdom of the Almighty and even the influence and impact of the Pope, Pope Francis himself, when he had the opportunity to meet, embrace, and speak with the Pontiff. The next day, Boehner announced his resignation. He did so while the Pope was in Washington, meeting, of course, with Obama and addressing Congress, and while the Pope was in New York addressing the United Nations, and Philadelphia, where for 2 days the Pontiff took the city by storm. In the midst of all of that, John Boehner resigned. It was a shock, a mighty one, to so many, and perhaps especially to Republicans and House of Representative members. So many had long wished Boehner to resign or not be reelected as Speaker of the House. So many campaigned against him only to lose. Boehner was a solid politician, a fixture, and not to be ousted. But one day, again, after prayer and seemingly the influence of his Holy Father the Pope, Boehner resigned. He wanted to turn the leadership of the Republican Party over to another. The man had had enough of Washington, D.C. He said it was time for normalcy, for a regular life. Time it was for him to become disinfected from the Potomac fever, Washingtonitis, with which he had lived for years and years. Time it was, he told us, for the Republican Party to reconstruct, to galvanize, to re-energize, and move forward under new leadership in the House of Representatives. Time it was for change, change. And as with the drastic and radical Obama change in 2008 and beyond, so now with the Republicans, newly energized, majorities in the House and Senate, to stand up and be counted and be accountable for their principles and to make things happen. Without him. Perhaps he thought none of this could ever happen with him. But not to worry about John Boehner, my fellow Americans, or any other politician, or in his case, any other member of the House of Representatives. John Boehner will be supported for the rest of his life by the Washington he served, no matter how many years he lives. He will, but we won't. Do you think that's fair? John Boehner and his fellows in the House of Representatives and Senate are entitled to the very best of medical treatment for the rest of their lives. And that, of course, includes their entire family as well. They are entitled to special medical treatment not available to us at no cost to them. In fact, so many members of Congress, House and Senate, have partially or totally exempted themselves and their staff, and of course their families, from Obamacare. Why? If it's that good for America, why? Anything onerous in the new health care reform which Obamacare provides does not apply to them, but it does to us. John Boehner and family have no worries about anything medical for the rest of their lives, but we do. And all of that, of course, at government expense, our tax dollars. Do you think that's fair? Should an elected politician have so much more for all the rest of life than we the people have? Do you think that's fair? Makes me angry. Congress really seems to know how to take care of its own, does it not? One exemption after another. Absolutely incredible. Why should 435 members of the House of Representatives, or 100 senators, why should 535 people, citizens like us, have any special rights or exemptions not available to us? Why? Do you think that's fair? So often you can look at the fine print of any legislation and find, often buried way down deep, an exemption of some kind for our 535 rulers. And they get away with it. Even if there are legal challenges to such exemptions, they get away with it. They think of themselves as privileged, and with the power we have granted them, they will act accordingly for themselves. Do you think exemptions for members of Congress are fair? Are these people special? Are they different from us? Are they far more entitled than we are, and consequently able to live different lives through their very own created exemptions? Do you think that's fair? Boy, I don't. If I am forced someday to find health insurance from an exchange, so should Congress. If I am forced to abide by a health care which requires a single-payer system, so should they. I resent any exemption or special benefit for 535 elected congresspersons. They are no better than I am, or you. No exemptions, no special privileges, Congress, none. None of either. Fairness, equality for all, from all legislation. If you get it, so do we. If you don't have to do it, neither do we. What do you think? But even more, there is always perhaps the more crucial matter of term limits. That's a special thing for me. Don't you think it's time for term limits for all members of the House and Senate so that we can end the rule of career politicians? We have limited the term of a president of the United States to 8 years, 2 4-year terms. No more Obama, no more Bush, no more Clinton, no more Reagan, no more. Even that seems long, especially when a second term and the last part thereof seems to produce so little in so many ways. But at least we amended our Constitution to make certain an essentially benign dictatorship. Benign dictatorship, as was perhaps the case with Franklin Delano Roosevelt, never happens again in America. 8 years and out, Mr. President. So why not the same for the House of Representatives? Perhaps no more than 12 years of service, no more. So that a member of the House of Representatives could be elected 6 times for 2-year terms, or a total of 12 years and out. Serve us, represent us, and go home. 12 years of any House member, John Boehner or Nancy Pelosi, 12 years is more than enough of any of them. Thank you for your service and go home. What do you think? Don't you think that's right? Don't you think that's fair? And the Senate, perhaps the very same. No more than 12 years of service. That would be 2 6-year terms. 2 and no more. 12 years of service in the Senate and go home. Fresh blood, new leadership, new vision, new representation, no more rulers, Mitch McConnell, Chuck Schumer, Dianne Feinstein, Ted Kennedy, and so many others, 12 years and out. We could find a way to effectuate term limits and elect new leaders who would do away once and for all with exemptions and preferences. Do away with exemptions and preferences, and lead us with fresh thinking and new ideas, more so from the grassroots of the people. We could do that, if only we would. How much better it would be for America and we the people. Oh, it would be so much better. It would be much more democratic. By the way, why not the very same limit, the same term limits and number of years of service for justices of the Supreme Court? Why not? These 9 individuals serve for a lifetime. A lifetime. No matter the age, the intellect, the wisdom, or the capability, no matter how prejudiced or political or biased, those 9 justices personally decide how long they will serve. Wow. So perhaps we set a limit for such service of 20 years and out, or maybe 25. No matter the age, again. Fresh blood, new thinking, current wisdom. 20 or 25 years and out. Gone. Or perhaps we set a mandatory age of retirement for Supreme Court justices of perhaps 75 years. 75 years and out. Okay, maybe 80. But an age or term limit so that we the people can protect our Supreme Court. Our Supreme Court. By the way, those 9 men and women also get so very many exemptions, preferences, perks, and privileges. Perhaps our Congress should take a hard look at exemptions and preferences for the Supreme Court of the United States. Why not? So John Boehner goes home with a bucket full of exemptions and privileges. Set for life is this man. On us. On us. Perhaps he earned it. Perhaps this criticism is too harsh. Perhaps he earned it, and perhaps he even deserves it. But we the people pay, and pay, and pay, again, year after year after year, for those who take care of themselves in Washington with our money. Our governmental system of federalism provides significant powers to the states, my friends. It is time, so many feel, for the states to step up and exercise those powers, chief of which is the ability to convene conventions and call for the amendment of our great Constitution. It is time to consider, so many say, a 28th Amendment, which would essentially read as follows: Congress shall make no law that applies to the citizens of the United States that does not apply equally to the Senators and House of Representatives. Doesn't that sound fair? Hey, that, wait, there's more. And Congress shall make no law that applies to the Senators and House of Representatives that does not apply equally to the citizens of the United States. If it's good for them, it's good for us. Don't you think that's fair? I would love to see it happen. What say you?